What is up, everyone? Welcome back to episode 42 of the Nonstop Baseball Podcast.
Psych, oh, we're not back. MLB hasn't started.
Yes, we have some news, but before we get to that, I'm Noah. I'm here, as always, joined by Brian and Adam. Brian, how are you doing? We're starting to get the MLB season, though it's still not, doesn't exist yet. We're starting to get some legs under it. How are you feeling just overall, Brian?
Yeah, no, I hate myself right now. I am very sore. I am very unhappy. Trying to get in shape, not going well. Honestly, don't care about baseball. I'm just in pain.
Yeah, Brian started working out with me this week as his first week, and he's doing really good. He's trying real hard. He's showing up. It's the main important thing, but his legs.
My legs hurt.
Yeah.
I may be showing up next week. I don't know if my legs are going to show up.
Yes, Brian, tonight was sitting on the floor for a while, just looking absolutely lost after the workout.
You know, I was fighting some inner battles for sure.
And he's winning. He's winning so far.
I don't know about that.
But yeah, love to see it. Love all that progress. Adam, how are you doing? How are your legs?
Pretty great. I've been working from home. I haven't been outside in a few days. So yeah, pretty much the opposite. I'm kind of just chilling.
Yeah. The sun's still a thing. Like, I don't know.
I don't know, man. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it's been nice and warm where Brian and I live, though I'm sure it's nothing compared to where Adam is. But
it's been fairly warm.
That's nice.
But what is fairly warm? I want a definition for this.
It's been like 70.
Okay, that's like the same here. So
yeah, maybe it's been a little warmer here actually.
Yeah, actually, I think it hit 80s during the week here.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it did hit the 80s here. I wasn't outside for it.
Enough of the nonstop weather talk. Well, before we get into things, hit us up on social media, at Nonstop BB Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Message us. We want to hear from you. Share us with your friends. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We love all that. I think we got to start off. Oh, what are you going to say, Brian?
I was just going to say they should like send us a message and tell us how many fingers they have.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with anything. Just talk to us. We want someone to talk to.
Okay. I like thought there was some clever, like,
no, there's baseball news joke. I'm pretty dumb.
And I just lost. So yeah, if you want to tell us how many fingers you have.
Hey, don't do that. That was really bad. No, it was better in my head.
And we'll read it on the podcast.
Yep.
Okay. But we have some lockout news. Our father who art in heaven, Rob Manfred, graced us with some news.
Is there a worse deity?
Hey, we're starting on time. That's all I know. Rob Manfred said it.
Yeah.
He's not worried one bit.
My mom used to say we'd get to church on time, but that never really worked. the three main takeaways, one that we're definitely starting on time and without a doubt. Besides that, apparently the universal DH has been agreed upon by both sides. There's a draft lottery has been agreed to. And then also there will no longer be pick compensation for signing free agents who were given the qualifying offer. So I know it, like 2 years ago, especially it was Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel weren't signed till like the middle of the season because they had a pick attached to them and teams didn't want to do that. So there'll be no more of that, but
which is so good.
It's so good, by the way. But Adam, which one of these three things do you want to talk about first?
Not a massive fan of the draft lottery, but not really for any reason other than I don't think that the MLB draft matters that much.
Well, It's interesting that you say that, because earlier this week, I was listening to Starkville as part of the Athletic Baseball Podcast, Jason Stark, Doug Glanville. And Jason Stark had some really interesting thoughts about this. Well, before this was announced, he was saying maybe it's just number one pick should be the best record that didn't make the playoffs. And I thought that was really interesting. Hmm. But then he said, if you really look at it, the first, I forget how many it was within the, I don't know, top 10 or 15 picks, looking at the total WAR of those players compared to the rest of the first round, it is a major difference. So it feels like the MLB draft is a crapshoot. And I think that's mainly because you get a lot of super, super late rounders that do stuff. But in terms of the first
high schoolers too.
Yeah. But in terms of the first round, the results have shown that if you get those early picks, I mean, you do get more wins above replacement. So that was kind of interesting to hear.
I'm kind of on board with this. The best team to not miss the playoffs. That would give the Jays number one.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I'm kind of on board with that idea.
No, it's a cool idea. I think draft lottery practically makes a lot of sense. Like, I think the best team to miss the playoffs, like, is great, but I don't think teams would ever agree to that.
No, they'll never do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the bottom teams that are always the bottom teams, like the Baltimore doo-doo poo-poos, like, why would they agree to that? They just wouldn't.
Yeah, they wouldn't. But, and it's, when you're thinking about it, I just think that'd be such a good idea, because it's like, oh no, like the Pirates, who spend what, like $30 million a year on their entire payroll. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say $30. No, like,
yeah, that's about right. Yeah, that's about right. They spend, yeah, 30 nickels. just being like, oh no, but we're bad, we want a draft pick. Well, then help yourself, sign some free agents. You don't got to go out there and sign, you know, Trevor Story, but you could sign some guys that'll help you out.
There's, you'd be a little bit more competitive. Level guys, look at, yeah, what the Giants did. They got a bunch of veterans nobody wanted and then went and won 107 games. Like, you could do stuff. Like,
yes,
find the mid-level guys.
The Kansas City Royals just a few years ago sold for $1 billion. The Kansas City Royals. Like, there's money out there that these teams could spend. Sam, it's just
really quick on a side note, like how you're saying how much the Royals sold for. Like, it's insane how many people take the side of the owner when it comes to player contracts. Like, a player will get $26 million, and instead of a lot of fans' reaction being like, dude, that's dope, this guy got $26 million, they're like, athletes are overpaid, why do they get this much? And it's just such a whack mindset. Like, would you rather your billionaire owner just keep the money, or a player who's grinded and worked hard for it, like, get some stuff that he's worked hard for?
Yeah. And just, like, the actual player that you watch and enjoy,
yes,
getting the money, you know,
versus the owner you'll never meet or see or anything. Like, they don't leave their little suite. Like,
yeah.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
You might see a few tweets every once in a while, but that's about it.
Well, out of one in particular, yes.
Yes. But yeah, I guess I'll settle for a draft lottery, just because I know the other one isn't realistic, but I would love. But it'll also be interesting to see the logistics of this draft lottery. It would be interesting if maybe it's a draft lottery, but the best odds go to the, you know, best team that did make the playoffs. That'd be interesting.
That'd be very interesting. But I feel like, I don't know, as much as I love that idea, I don't think it would ever get agreed upon in the league. I think the lottery is cool in some sense, because I don't really know if it does get rid of tanking. Like, we still see tanking in basketball to a degree. Like, it's not going to get rid of tanking, but yeah, I think it's cool. It adds some variety.
Yeah. So, I mean, unless anyone has anything else they'd like to talk about the draft lottery, Brian, what would you like to talk about?
So the last two we have, I think there's one that makes 100% sense. Like, it was something that was needed. And I think there's one that will be a good thing, but it'll take time for people to get on board. Right. So let's talk about that one, the DH, right? Long term, I think the DH is great for baseball. In a sense, it creates another job, right? It creates another starting position every day for half the league. National League baseball fans are not going to like it at first, right? Because National League baseball fans love
strategy.
Their they love their strategy, right? And they love the non-competitive at-bats we see out of pitchers. And like, I was having this discussion with my dad because he was very much against it. And do you know what? There was an era of baseball where when the pitcher went to bat, it wasn't non-competitive. Like, it was a competitive at-bat. There was a time that. But within the last 10 years, those at-bats have become extremely non-competitive. Like, I think every year it was just getting more and more non-competitive. Like, the last couple of years, I would say about 50% of the pitchers, like, stood there with, like, almost no intention to swing.
Yeah, and also, like, for whatever reason, pitchers just don't know how to run around in a square shape. Pitchers just get hurt on the bases. Like, it's so,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pitchers get hurt. There's not much reason. And this is coming from me as a Giants fan. The Giants fan, that quote unquote strategy we talked to, they quote unquote handled it the best last year, right? Switch pinch hitting constantly. I don't think a pitcher ever hit after the sixth inning for the Giants, which is crazy. Like, obviously you had the rare cases where a pitcher went deep in the game, but for the most part, the Giants were pinch hitting early and often, and the pitcher almost never hit. Like, I think the Giants strategy was money last year for it. And I still think there should be a DH.
Yeah. So here's my argument to the strategy haters and the like, it's changing everything. I despised the three batter minimum when it was announced.
Oh, I loved that.
And I love it now.
No, when it was announced, I loved it from the get go.
Yeah. But and just thinking about that, and like really all of the, I mean, there are certain rule changes that I'm not the biggest fan of still, like, you know, the runner on second in extra innings or, but like none of them have been like, oh my gosh, this is the worst thing for the game. And I feel like this is just only going to be good. And we saw it in 2020 and it was awesome. It was just, yep. You know, another job, like Brian said, you get some more competitive at bats and it's just, oh man, it like,
and you know, about growing the game. Sorry to cut you off. Yeah. they talk about growing the game. This just adds more action to National League baseball games. Like, dude, you show someone, you're trying to get someone into a baseball game and they see someone just go stand out there with like no care to swing. Like, bro, it's whack.
Yeah, I mean, like, good example, right? Like, you can even have players that everybody wants to see, right? Max Scherzer is a good example of this. Max Scherzer had 59 at bats last year. He was struck out 28 times and had no hits. Everybody wants to watch Max Scherzer.
Is that bad?
Nobody wants to watch Max Scherzer bat, though.
We're like, not talking about the one significant negative,
right? Sure. Well,
Bartolo Colon hit a home run.
We will
never get to see something like that again. That is the one. Like, dude,
I saw it already.
Like, as disappointing as those at-bats were, the one thing I will miss is when a pitcher does something.
Oh yeah.
Like when Logan Webb last year. Oh, which quick shout out, quick side note. Logan Webb will be the last pitcher only to hit a home run now with this rule change. I have to say pitcher only because Ohtani hit one after him, but he's not a real person.
Yeah, he's a fiction of all of our imaginations.
I'm convinced he's a robot.
Yes. And I just wanted to say, like, I think kind of Brian was talking about too, like, for a long time, I was like, oh, I want, it's fun to have, especially as an AL fan, I could watch NL games and see, you know, the pitchers hit. It's fun to kind of think about, oh man, the pitcher spot's coming up. What are we going to do with that? Who's going to come in? Are we going to leave the pitcher in? But now I'm at the point, the DH is the way to go. And like you're saying, when pitchers do stuff, I remember in 2018, we had Rip City Ricky on the Red Sox. Rick Porcello hit like a bases clearing double off of Max Scherzer in one game. And he had like, Rick Porcello had like two or three doubles in 2018. It was the best thing ever. But still, from game to game, get me that universal DH. Let some players stick around a little bit longer in their career. Let Albert Pujols come back to St. Louis this year. Hey. Be that DH, you know? It would make baseball more fun. I see that sometimes the pitcher hitting makes baseball have these interesting, tough situations that require critical thinking. But baseball's more fun with the universal DH.
Yeah. I also think that, like, the argument that I always that I think you hear the most, right, is that like this is the strategy argument, right? The like, oh well, if you have a DH, like there's no extra strategy, but like you're basically just trading, like there is an in-game strategy to having to play around a pitcher batting position, but there's a day-to-day strategy still with a DH, right? I mean, like look at a team like the Jays, when the Blue Jays needed a player to have either like a rest day or like a, or just like a half day or something, you have that DH spot open so that you can get somebody like Vladdy, who, you know, maybe Vladdy's played, you know, every game. I mean, he played every game save for one all season. And part of the reason that he's able to do something like that is because he was able to DH some days. Like you give some players a break and yet you still get to see them. You get to see your superstars play way more often because they have an option to not have a fielding day.
Yeah, and if you look at the Giants, they prove, yeah, the Giants are still going to pinch hit next year, right, Brian? Oh,
yeah, no, the Giants will lead the league in pinch hitting by a significant amount. But I will bet there will be multiple games where the Giants are, like, out of pinch hitters by the seventh inning still. Like, they just, or maybe only their catcher left. Like, they aggressively pinch hit, and it's not going to change. It's who they are. It's
kind of interesting. I almost wonder if the no strategy as far as pinch hitting and stuff is concerned might actually get flipped on its head. I feel like you might pinch hit more because there's no pitcher tied to it. Like you can almost freely swap your DH multiple times a game.
The only pushback I have for that is like there's this like thought in baseball that you need to keep players for extra innings. Like whenever there's an extra innings game, it becomes a massive thing of how many players are on the bench, right?
Sure.
Which makes sense because if the game goes 22 innings, you're going to need every one of those guys. But I think especially with this new extra innings rule we have with the second base, like we don't see games go to the 20th inning anymore. Like that just doesn't really happen. Actually, has it happened since that rule's gone in? I don't think so.
I remember we had one like Padres game that went super long, but it was like half. You know,
yeah, it went like 17 innings or something.
Those type of games though have become incredibly rare with this new rule, right? So
yeah,
I don't know. I think you'll see teams who looked at what the Giants did last year and been like, hey, like there's advantages we can get earlier in the game. We're gonna have to take them.
Yeah.
And yeah, it'll be interesting. Like the strategy doesn't go away though. That's what I'm saying. Like it's a different kind of strategy, but it's not like there's no strategy anymore.
Yeah exactly. Sure. And we talked a little bit about the pick compensation thing for free agents. Do we have anything we'd like to add about that or sum it up?
I don't think there's anything more obvious. Like it was like, hey, let's take the free agents that like people will want and make them like somebody they wouldn't want. Like, it just didn't make sense.
Yeah. Let's, you know, all these people that have worked really hard and done their job really well. Let's punish them. Yeah. Let's penalize the possible employers for signing them to a contract. It's like, what world are you living in? Oh my gosh. But anything you'd like to add, Adam?
No, I mean, I think that so far the things that have been agreed upon are things that we either expected more or less to be agreed upon or are just pleasantly surprised with. Now can we just finish the whole dang thing?
So one other thing we should note, which by the time you're hearing this, when Robert Manfred said this, he said the MLB is going to be putting out a really good offer on Saturday, right? And like they're really
finally.
Yeah, they're really, yeah, finally. It only took what 70 days, 80 days.
Hey guys, we're actually gonna try on Saturday.
Yeah, so apparently this offer is supposed to be really good, right? He's been hyping up. We're recording this on Friday. If the offer is really good, you probably heard from us at the beginning of this podcast already.
Yep.
But I just had to say this Trevor Plouffe tweet he just sent out. He put Robert D. Manfred Jr., you better not come with that weak shit tomorrow.
You better not.
But it's true. Like he hyped up this offer. He said that these are the things agreed to. Like the players have been waiting for them to make a legit offer. If this offer is whack tomorrow, MLB is going to get a lot of hate. Like a lot. So.
Yeah.
Well, Yeah, it's gonna. And but, I mean, one other thing I wanted to say is the thing we were talking about before, how the owners are now trying not to pay the minor league players for spring training. This is like the whole reason we're in a lockout right now, and the players are arguing because small stuff like this. So the owners are fighting that they don't need to pay the minor league players for spring training because they pay like $2,000 to provide the, like, just like what the week entails, the coaching, the blah, 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 whatever. It just, dude, they want professional athletes to, like what Adam said, to just be unpaid interns. Like, what?
Yeah, it's a wild notion. They're like, yeah, but we're paying you with experience. It's like, dude, everyone in the minors, regardless of where they're at in the minors, is a professional baseball player.
Like, how am I supposed to eat,
pay them,
live, like, do anything? Like, I'm not getting paid. It's not like they pay them a lot either. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, I wish I had the Bo Burnham clip, the barely people, somehow legal, unpaid intern. But yeah, it's just crazy what super, super rich people will say sometimes.
Yeah, it's so funny because, like, it's just comically, like, evil. Like, what if we just don't pay you?
Straight up Lex Luthor type stuff.
It's like, wait a minute, you can't say that.
You know how we haven't even tried to put out a good proposal yet?
Yeah. I think
because of that, we shouldn't pay you. Oh, geez. Okay. I think that might be enough roasting the owners for right now. We'll probably be back at it in 5 minutes. But some fun baseball news. Baseball, as it should be. Shohei Ohtani on the cover of MLB The Show 2022. I mean, it's just the right answer for who should be on the cover this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
No doubt.
Yeah, gotta love it. Not too much more to add other than, like, people were like, how come it doesn't say The Show, S-H-O, on the cover? Which, like, obviously that's, like, cool, and I'm sure they're going to use that in their marketing a bit, but it's like they also own the rights to The Show, like, S-H-O-W.
Yeah.
I think it would have been cool if, like, the normal one has to be The Show, right, with the W. But they did, like, us, like, made 100 versions, like a collector edition thing, and put The Show without
the... That would be so sick.
That would be so sick. Like, I understand it couldn't be the main one.
Yeah, I still might, and no matter what, I might get a physical copy just because it's
just gonna be style. Yeah, it's cool.
Show my kids. This
was the greatest baseball player of all time.
This was the cutest baseball player I've ever seen.
So, Adam just said, great players of all time, right? So ESPN put out an article this week. They're going through their top 100 players of all time, right? Mm-hmm. And they put out the 25 through one. And when I looked at this list, first thing I wanted to say is the fact someone in the top 10 isn't in the Hall of Fame is absolutely disgusting, but we're not going to get into that because that was last week's episode. Barry Lamar Bonds belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But the question I want to pose to you guys is, in the top 10 players of all time, Barry Bonds is the only player to play after the 70s.
Yeah.
And other than the one guy that played in the 70s, the majority of them played before the 60s, and like four of them played before the like 40s. Like, it's weird to me. How do we evaluate? Like, it's hard to tell someone Babe Ruth is a real baseball player at this point. Like,
yeah.
You don't understand, Brian. You don't understand how difficult it was to play back in those days when it was just a bunch of only white dudes throwing 80 miles an hour.
Like, I'm not convinced Ty Cobb's a real person.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But, like, do you guys think it's a problem for growing the game of baseball, especially among the youth? Because that's what we, like, that's the big thing with baseball, right? Like, is it going to die out? Are the youth still getting into it? Blah, 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 whatever. Do you think it's a problem that 9 of the 10 players in the top 10 are just, like, hard to even explain as being greats?
Yeah, I mean, a bit. It's definitely it's also definitely like a byproduct of how old baseball is, especially like recorded baseball, because that is one thing that baseball has that that really most modern sports don't, which is like the meticulous stat keeping that goes back so far. And yeah, so like, you can quantifiably say like, well, yeah, regardless of era or whatever, Babe Ruth, you know, hit a billion times, right? Like we know how many hits he had. We know the stats for it. And so, you know, I can see where the arguments are that like, well, yeah, he is still the greatest player of all time. But yeah, there is definitely still that feeling of like every year it's the same kind of top 20-ish kind of players with nobody new. And at what point do you just, are you just holding on to old names because they're legends of the game? Or are they actually better? Who knows?
It's like Walter Johnson. He pitched from 1907 to 1927. Yeah. In those 20 years, he pitched 5,900 innings.
Right. That's, and it's nuts.
Had a 2.1 ERA. It's just insane. Like, I don't know. I looked at this list and that was my first thought, that like, it's really weird that like we try so hard to sell this sport where like it's hard to explain a lot of the greatest players in the sport.
I know. Yeah, it is weird, but it is. I mean, that's part of the culture of baseball too, is to like look back at, you know, these old guys and be like, this guy threw 175 pitches every single game. And then he also went to war and then came back and was just as good, you know, like. But yeah, I mean, it's like one thing I think that we could all agree on, because I think, you know, sometimes it's like, it's weird to, how do you quantify these old school legends? Because it's like, they did dominate, but you know, there's like, you know, you weren't getting a bunch of players in from the Dominican Republic back in that day. You know, you weren't having specialized athletes, but you know, they're still legends. But one thing I think
some of these guys had day jobs. They did this afterwards.
Exactly.
They were playing baseball against plumbers.
I forget. I don't know exactly where he was on the list, but I know that Derek Jeter was ranked higher or better than Albert Pujols. And
neither of them are in the top 25. That's all I'm looking at.
It is, I think, worth. So a lot of the ESPN writers did have, they like answered questions, like the people who like kind of contributed to the list, talking about like issues with the list or issues with making a list like that at all. And they do point out similar things, right? Like, you know, one of them says like, yeah, there's too many players from past eras dominating the list, right? Which is a function of how well baseball statistics translate over generations. It's fun, but there's, you know, there's too many old players mixed in with new.
It's an impossible task to make a list like this. It really is.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I was just curious and wanted to bring up that question. I thought it was interesting. It definitely is. I don't know. It's tough to quantify. I mean, you see that issue in every sport. Like, how do we modernize the greatest players to play? Like, it's a tough question.
And that's one of those things like, yeah, are you qualifying players where it's like, you know, are you rating a player by how well they did in their era, or are you rating them compared to other players? Like, do you think that Babe Ruth was more dominant in his time than Barry Bonds was in his time? Or do you think that Babe Ruth is a better player than Bonds? Because those are two different arguments, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that if you think Bonds is a worse player than Babe Ruth, there's something wrong with your brain. But dominance, there might be an argument there.
I don't think there's an argument there.
I
don't know. It is because, like, I mean, Barry's numbers are so crazy, but I mean, they're still crazy compared to everyone else. But it was like Babe Ruth, yeah, like you're saying, I guess, like out homered teams, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. Total.
So I guess I see a point there.
But it's just like a lot, some of these players played in an era where it was common for a player to play into their 40s.
Hmm?
Like, there's almost no shot of players playing into their 40s today. I mean, we have Wainwright. We have Pujols.
Cruz.
Is he 40?
Yeah, Cruz.
Nelson Cruz.
Like, it is a handful. It is
Tom
a
Brady.
Tough.
Tom Brady. Going to play it baseball
is,
now?
Yep. Yeah. It's an extremely tough task to play into your 40s. And it's hard to compare counting stats against some of these guys that it was just common because they played for so long. Like,
yeah,
it's just insane.
Another hypothetical kind of just fun little question to ask. Sorry to kind of go back to lockout stuff. I should have asked this earlier, but another thing on that Jason Stark mentioned, well, he said that philosophically, Major League Baseball is against any type of salary cap. So like a salary, cap on the top or on the bottom.
Even though they essentially have a cap.
Yes, they have a luxury tax. He says, but literally they are not opposed to a tax. Mm-hmm. So what about a tax on the floor? You know, so if you don't pay this much amount of money, there's, you know, draft compensation or international spending compensation. How would you feel about that?
I think a floor luxury tax is almost a must. If you're going to do it at the top, I think you need to do it at the bottom. And I think it needs to be just as harsh, like as far as they're under is like how it gets worse, right? Like,
yeah, like there's literally no reason to not spend the floor, you know?
Yeah. I don't know enough about like baseball money to actually give a number of what it should be. But the fact you have teams spending $30 million and you have teams spending $180 million on their teams is disgusting.
The Rangers dropped $500 million.
After not spending money for like, 4 years? Like, it's just weird. It really is. Like, do the Pirates, the A's, the Orioles, like, the Rockies, if you want to throw them in, like, it's wild.
Yeah, I just think it would just make the game a lot more fun to watch.
It'd make free agency so much better.
Oh, yeah.
And see, the one problem with a floor is you'll end up with players making way more than they deserve because, like, they'll go after somebody who, like, they want, right? And then the good player's like, I'm not going to play for the Pirates. You're hilarious, right?
Dang it, dude. We're $15 million under the floor. Hey, like, Joe, panic. We're going to pay you like, $15 million.
Just vibe out.
You're going to see some veterans get some wild contracts if this happens, right?
Bro, can you imagine being a good locker room guy for like $15 million? That'd be hype.
It's going to happen, though. That's the thing. Like, because... Yeah. Philosophically, the Pirates are going to want to keep young players. Like that's what they're going to want to do, right? They're going to want to keep testing players until they find their next McCutcheon. Yeah. And so like, why are they going to go give some free agent they don't really want and promise them a bunch of playing time when they could give Joe Panic, who's okay playing a rotational role, $15 million? Why not? We need to get up there. Yeah. Like it creates some interesting scenarios, especially combined with the compensation pick going away. Because now the top teams are more likely to be in on those players.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. So we could talk about two people that retired this week, or we could do a funny audio clip. What do you want?
I must say, I don't really care about people retiring. Hit me with the audio clip.
It was okay. Joel West retiring. We care about that.
Well, no, we'll get to it in a second. We gotta pick up the energy a little bit with our with this audio clip. So 2015, 2015, the Chicago Cubs are playing the St. Louis Cardinals. This came across on Twitter at @baseballquotes1 if you're interested. Pedro Strop didn't have the best performance. We'll talk about it in a little bit. Joe Maddon was going to take him out. Bob Costas was on the mic, and he had this reaction to Pedro Strop being taken out of the game. Enjoy.
It's not Bosio this time, it's Maddon, and that means a change. Mott is on his way in. Strope is on his way out, pointing toward the heavens. We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Oh my God. I do remember this.
What? I just imagine the producer just being like, Jesus Christ, Bob, what did you just say?
Like, absolutely the dude's already roasted. Down. You didn't have to punch him again.
Absolutely roasted, and I wish we got more of that.
Dude, dude.
So do you want to know what Pedro Strop did in this game? I looked up.
I want to see it.
So in this outing, Pedro Strop came in. The Cubs were up 2-1. Pedro Strop gave up the game tying home run to start the inning. He then hit the second batter with a pitch, and then got the third batter he faced to fly out, and then he walked the final batter he faced. And then,
I mean, look, not a great outing, but also not the worst outing I've ever seen.
Yeah, you don't gotta bring up.
Dude, speaking of Adam, like when he said like he wants to hear more of that from announcers, and like we've heard discussions in the past, like of like a company like Barstool trying to get rights to broadcast a game, right?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
But imagine if we could get Dallas Braden and Jared Carrabas casting a game with like no censoring, just like let them go.
I think it's less that I want like, oh, like no censor or anything like that. I just wish that
you want it to be funny. Like you
well,
want
I wish I wish that broadcasters jokes. Could be more candid, right?
Yeah.
I feel like obviously they have to be professional. Like you're on national television most of the time.
I'd love to hear an F-bomb here and there though.
Sure. But like, like when they do but like I dumb. Also but like I think of something like what the Manning cast did for football this last season. Where you know Peyton and Eli Manning had their own like side broadcast of a handful of I think it was Monday night games. And they would bring on guests, you know, whether they were active players or retired players or just celebrities or whatever. You know, but they still sort of they still talked about the game, but they were much more candid where that, you know, because it's a little bit not annoying, but like, I don't know, it's tiring to see like a player make a bad play or something and announcers not
just bashing
announcers have to feel they have to feel like they have to like be supportive.
Oh, okay. That'd be
or but they can't just be like, wow, that was awful. Like, let's watch a replay of how bad that was.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's no. interesting. I remember an incident, I think in 2018, Eduardo Rodriguez was coming back and he was from injury. He was doing a rehab assignment and he got like blown up and they showed the stats and Dennis Eckersley just went, ugh. and then like after that, I think he said like, oh yeah, you don't want that to be your last outing. He'll probably get another one and then, you know, be good and then come back. But David Price, apparently when getting on like the team plane, just like screamed at Dennis Eckersley after that. So it's like, there's a lot going on in terms of politics and keeping the players happy. And that kind of prevents him from being more candid. Bob Costas is not a like team commentator. Yeah. So right. that gives him a little bit more freedom to, it, you know, say
it
that.
It has to Pedro be non-team Strump's employees for relative. Sure.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, Joe Buck can go ahead and flame a team. That'd be allowed.
Dude, but like, even speaking of that Manning cast, it was great. Like the Raiders were the first team on it. And literally at one point, they're like, at the beginning of the game, they're like, we'll know the Raiders' record.
It was Peyton.
First play.
Yeah, it was Peyton Manning.
And Carr just throws a bad play or wide receiver dropped it, whatever it was. And they were like, yeah, 16-11.
Yep.
It was just like, oh,
that was
no.
so funny. And but the best part is like, it was Peyton Manning where he's like, I know the exact record of the Raiders just based off of this one play. But it's Peyton Manning saying it, which means like, hey, maybe it's right.
Yeah, no.
He could be correct.
It was honestly great. That Manning cast was great, and I really hope baseball does. Dude, if baseball does something similar for like Sunday Night Baseball,
yeah, I'd love it.
It'd be and sick.
Like, yeah, because like also because one of the other things that made the Manning cast so good was like some of the guests that they got to bring on, right? Like, yeah,
like
Marshall, you know,
Lynch.
Yeah, well, like, well, yeah, the Marshall one was great, but like, you know, whether they brought on, you know, Gronkowski or even some of the other guests that maybe are less good broadcast talent but are still interesting people to hear from, like Brett Favre. But like, yeah, imagine an MLB broadcast where you get, you know,
Marshawn
some retired
Lynch.
Players. Yeah, well, yeah, where you get Marshawn Lynch.
Dude, like, I would love that.
But like, imagine
I want Marshawn Lynch to cast a football game.
That'd be great. But like, imagine, you know, but imagine, Brian, like you're watching a Giants game, right? And there's like a segment where they have Posey in the booth for a while.
Yeah, no, it'd be dope. I think that's one thing, though, the Giants do a very good job of is, like, mm-hmm. half of their rotating casters are ex-players.
Yeah.
Like Hunter Pence did a couple games last year. Javier Lopez did a couple games last year. Like, it's really – I think the Giants do a great job with their booth. But, yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the retirees.
Got two retirements. I guess since we already mentioned one, we'll start with that one. Best news all week in baseball. Just kidding. Joe West retired. But I'll start off. I mean, as much as Joe West annoyed me at times, just because he definitely had a big ego. You know, he did this thing for a long time and he did a pretty good job, and he was critical in the Red Sox coming back from the 3-0 deficit in the Yankees series. He was on second base when Dave Roberts stole that base, and he got the call right. It's not like he, you know, helped out the Red Sox at all, but it was a close call for sure before replay. And also Mark Bellhorn had a home run, I think in game six, that like went off a fan and came right back in and was initially called like a double. And Joe West, you know, got everyone together and said, nope, that was over the wall. So two like tough calls before replay, he got right. That really helped out the Red Sox. So credit to Joe West for, you know, doing the thing for 500 years.
Yeah. Joe West did a lot of great things for the sport of baseball. He really did. The last 5 years, not great. He had a rough last 5 years. But before that, he did great things for baseball, man. And actually, something interesting like about this is there was other umpires to retire. I think it was like 6 or 7 in total, maybe less, maybe 5. But they all graded in like the bottom percentile for accuracy. So it like brings up a question almost, like, should there be some sort of age limit on umping? Like, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think, something that we've seen a decent amount in the last couple of years, especially as umps have come under fire for being, you know, potentially bad, is that, you know, one of the things that we see is like consistency and correctness skews very nicely with age, as far as like younger umps get things right much more frequently. So yeah, I think it's a bit of a, it's a mix of a problem of like, you have a lot of old umps who've just been doing it for so long that they're not leaving. But I think you also just have not a ton of influx of new umps.
Yeah, I think, I don't think there should be an age limit, but I think there should be like, you know,
eyesight test,
5-year review process, you know, and then, you know, something happens. And maybe if you don't pass that, you don't get behind home plate, you know, because, yeah, in the Bundesliga, they have an age limit on their referees. And last year,
I think
his name is like Grafer or something like that. But like one of literally everyone, fans, coaches, players, favorite referees, just aged out. And he didn't even seem that old to me. And he was still like the best referee in the Bundesliga. But I was like, no, can't do it anymore. And it was just like, why? You know,
I wonder if he went to another league to go ref.
I don't know. Maybe you just like, I'll just enjoy retirement or whatever.
Maybe. But,
yeah, I remember thinking that was weird. And, you know, I don't think there should be an age limit on it. But like I just said, there should be a review process, just like having your license. Though apparently that review process isn't that tough, because I've definitely had some old relatives out there. It's wild and out. Yeah. Yeah. Does anyone else have anything to say, like to say about Joe Buck? No, Joe West.
Buck.
Joe Buck. Yes.
Gotta love Joe Buck, right?
Some people don't like him. Some people really don't like him.
A lot of people don't like him.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan. but yeah, it was Manuel Grefa, the referee in the Bundesliga, in case you're curious. And as far as I can tell, I don't think he's refereeing anywhere else right now, but it's weird. He's only 48? Yeah. What the heck? That's weird. He's 48 and they're like, hey, stop.
Yeah, that's a weird age. Like 40, like not being like 50, 45, 40. Like
Yeah, is it an age out or is it like a 10-year out?
Oh, it might be a 10-year thing too.
Yeah, I don't know. I just remember hearing that he aged out, but it might have been a 10-year out.
Yeah, because if it's like, well, you've been doing it for 25 years, get out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think it might be a 20-year thing because it looks like he... Oh, no, I don't know. Whatever, it's not important. It's not baseball. The other retirement that happened this week was Adrian Gonzalez.
Wow. Who I thought was retired already.
But... Same.
Yes. Well, he hasn't played a major league season since 2018.
Yeah,
makes sense.
But yeah, and he also didn't play any baseball in 19 or 20. But then in 2021, he played 43 games in Mexico in Guadalajara, and he had an OPS of 943. So just like came back for 43 games, smacked, and was like, you know what? I'm done.
I'm good.
Yeah.
That was fun.
But yeah, I mean,
heck of a player though.
Yeah. Thinking about our baseball lives growing up, two pretty big figures, Adrian Gonzalez and Joe West.
Yeah, for sure. Adrian Gonzalez, very present in the Giant Dodger rivalry. I was not a fan of his for a long time.
Yes, he was.
And like, it's funny. I was thinking about it. Low-key, one of the like greatest Mexican baseball players ever, you know, right? I mean, Valenzuela's probably takes the cake for sure with that. But I don't know. I can't think of many other Mexican position players better than Adrian Gonzalez.
So I saw you put this on the doc. So I Google searched it. Another ESPN article has him as fourth with Valenzuela as first, which makes sense. Must say number two and three. I don't know who they are.
So, okay.
And then they have Gonzalez fourth. So
he's the second best Mexican player ever. Let's say it.
In my opinion, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. But how are we feeling? We want to play a fun little game, or we want to talk about some serious stuff before.
Give me the game. Give me the game.
We can do game.
Or do you want to do that?
We can do. Yeah, we can do game.
Okay.
This may get news later. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah. We'll hold it for another episode, maybe. So yeah, please do not scroll to the bottom of the document. I will be doing my thing there, seeing all the answers.
Kind of scared what you're doing down there.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Okay, so it's a very simple game we have here. I should keep track of points, huh?
Always keep track of points.
Yeah,
is that even a question?
I've never done it. But well, I'm going forward,
we need to always do it until we don't do it next week.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so. It's a very simple game, a game called True or False. Ooh. So I will give you a statement about the 2021 Major League Baseball season, and you must tell me whether it is true or false, okay? Very, very simple. Here, let's see. Let me get my point system set up. Adam, I have 10 statements. Pick a number. Just pick a number.
Pick a number? Let's do seven.
Number seven. Sure. How did you know?
I don't know.
What? The statement is, Teoscar Hernandez led all of baseball in RBI after the All-Star break. True or false?
Ooh. He did go on a tear later in the season,
and we'll both answer.
Just
letting Adam choose the question.
That is interesting.
See, my very quick gut reaction is no, but I feel like that may be why it's on here. I'm trying to reverse psychology this. I'm saying true.
I'm gonna also say true.
The Blue Jays are hot.
I'm gonna also say true because I know he finished really high on like total RBI for the year.
To be fair, my reasoning for saying true is only because I so strongly believe it's not true.
I think it's true.
Okay, you both get 1 point. Very true. Yeah. Yes,
nice. He went on a tear late in the season.
Okay, Brian, pick a number other than 7, 1 through 10.
You gotta go number one.
Number one, Salvador Perez led Major League Baseball in RBI.
Ooh.
Yeah.
An RBI. I feel like we were talking a lot about how crazy his stat lines were because he had like super low walks, right? Led baseball in RBIs. Yeah. I'll agree with Adam. I'll say true.
Yeah, definitely.
I think at some point we're going to have to disagree, but
another point for both of you.
Oh, I mean, he had a really good like hitting and slugging season, and he played like all games but one.
Yeah, yeah, he did talk about that.
It's just crazy to think a catcher led baseball in RBI.
Yeah, he DH'd a lot.
Well,
yeah.
In fairness, right, RBI doesn't require you to run.
Yeah. it is interesting though. He had that many RBIs on a team like the Royals, which did not perform well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
For sure.
Because that means there's a lot of players on base, which mm-hmm. doesn't make a lot of sense.
For he also Royals. Hit like 48 home runs.
That is very true.
Okay, Adam, you can't pick one or seven.
Yeah, let's go three.
Okay. Your statement.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball's triples leader was a catcher.
No, it wasn't. Because I feel like I know who it was.
Brian, what do you think? Brian's thinking real hard, apparently.
My mic was muted.
I was about to say, or his mic is muted.
So you guys didn't, okay. JT Realmuto is like, that's my one case where I'm really, cause I know he had like three or four. I'm going to say it was not a catcher.
You guys both get a point again. So nice. False. It was actually a three-way tie between a pitcher, an outfielder, and a utility player. 8 triples for Ohtani, Brian Reynolds, and David Peralta.
I want to look up how much Realmuto had just out of curiosity.
Yeah, he led the Phillies in triples, but
that makes sense.
Yeah,
he only had 4. Okay.
So yeah, okay. Brian, you can't pick 1, 3, or 7.
2.
Number 2. Your question is, or your statement, Robbie Grossman was top 10 in baseball in walks.
Robbie okay. Grossman, top 10.
Detroit years. Tigers legend.
I'm Robbie so Grossman. Happy you said Detroit Tigers because I honestly was not sure what team he played.
You didn't know what
team. You'll remember the bit we had, the audio clip from the Tigers. Bro. There's like a clutch spot. It's like, who else in baseball would you want?
anything that involved the Detroit Tigers, I erased from it.
That's funny.
So this one sounds so ridiculous. I'm going to say it's true.
I'm trying to think.
Who else would you want up in that situation? Like you just
said. Other than Tigers legend Robbie Grossman. Exactly. He played like the whole season too.
Exactly. So ridiculous, it's true.
Top 10? Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard to be top 10. It's not that many people that walk that much. Sure, yeah, why not? Yeah, he was top 10 in walks.
This is true. He was actually top 5. He was 4th in walks. That's okay. Crazy.
I knew who the top 2 were, so.
Yeah. Okay, Adam, you cannot pick 1.
4.
Okay, 4 is maybe the best.
That was my next one.
4 is maybe the best question.
Oh, boy.
True or false? Uh-huh. The Baltimore Orioles struck out 5 million times.
That's definitely true. 100%.
That feels.
It might have been 6 million, so I think it might be wrong.
Yeah. I'm gonna go false. I think they were just shy. They're just a touch under 5 million.
Am I losing a point for this? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll go false. I thought you already locked in my truth.
Okay, it is false. I just thought that'd be funny to say.
How many times did they strike out, though?
I don't know. It wasn't many. The most. It wasn't the most in baseball. If it was the most in baseball, I would have written it down.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny. Brian, you cannot pick. What do you want to pick?
I cannot pick. Sorry, you just told me that.
Yeah, you cannot pick.
Not allowed. So I'll pick number 10. 6. Yeah.
Number 10. Oh, this is a good one.
Ooh, good ones.
Joe Panic was intentionally walked in 2021?
Oh, no.
No, I don't think he was.
Do you know what? Joe Panic's the best hitter to ever play. And at some point, me and Adam are going to have to disagree.
Oh.
The great, the GOAT of locker room guys got intentionally walked this year. I believe it.
Hey, okay, so it is true. For the first time since 2019, Joe Panic was intentionally walked in 2021.
My strategy sticking with the insane ones are true.
That's actually kind of wild.
Could have, I don't know when it was. It may have been during his Marlins stint. He might have been batting ahead of the pitcher and got intentionally walked. But
Ryan probably
has taken the lead. Okay.
Whatever.
Adam, what number would you like?
Six.
Number six. There was a closer with 50 or more saves in baseball in 2021.
No, I don't think so.
It's rare for pitchers to get more than 50 save opportunities. I don't think there was a pitcher with 50 save opportunities last year.
Dude, I don't think anybody had 40 saves.
Somebody probably got close, but yeah, no, nobody over 50. No shot.
Yeah, it was false. Mark Melancon led baseball with 39 saves.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That sounds about right. Did anybody get 50 save opportunities?
Oh, I'm sure. Because save opportunities is just like when you have the lead.
They give it to you in the eighth inning. Like, I think they give you a save opportunity anything after the seventh.
Or yeah.
After the
sixth. So like people got technically save opportunities, but not maybe necessarily.
Okay. Yeah. But it's not often that you get that many, though.
Yeah. Okay, Brian. What would you like? Number nine. Oh, I forgot my music. Starling Marte had more stolen bases than the Reds and Red Sox combined.
Can we know how many Starling Marte had? Or no? Is that knowing too much?
No, that's knowing too much.
That's knowing too much.
So Starling Marte had more stolen bases than who? The Marlins?
Red Sox combined.
Oh, the Red teams. Of course. The
Red Sox didn't steal a lot of bases, I'm pretty sure.
No, the Red Sox aren't a very base-stealing team.
The Reds aren't necessarily a faster team either. They do have Jonathan India, who is not only fast, but also hot.
Yeah.
This is true. Bonus point for Brian.
Dang it.
I'm going to say no, because like I know Starling Marte led the league. I think he had like 40, maybe 50.
Yeah, I don't I'm gonna think go, he... No.
That just seems like a lot.
I would say he probably beat one of those teams on their own, but not combined.
He might have beat both of them on his own, but I don't think combined.
Yeah, not combined.
That is correct. Okay. Starling Marte had 47 stolen bases, which was more than the Reds, Red Sox, and Diamondbacks on their own. Reds had 36, Red Sox had 40, Diamondbacks had 43.
Yeah, but
combined, not quite. Mm. Okay.
So I'm up by two now because of my bonus point?
Yes, this is correct. Though, you know,
win.
If Adam brings up Tyler Glasnow being cute, he might get a bonus point.
Oh, man, cute. I don't know if that cuts it.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know who's supposed to pick the next.
It doesn't matter. There's only one left, isn't there?
There are two left.
Oh. What? Oh, eight?
Yeah, you picked first.
Eight?
Eight and seven? Eight and
I did what? Seven.
Wait, eight what are the two left?
Oh, eight and five. Five.
Oh, yeah. All right. So we'll do eight.
Eight. Which, okay, here we go. Salvador Perez was walked 10 times before the All-Star break.
This was the narrative we talked about many times, and I think I remember making a joke about how he only walked eight times before the All-Star break. Like I'm like 95% sure I said that, so I'm gonna say no, he did not walk 10 times before the All-Star break, and I believe it's eight. I'm gonna try calling the number.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds right. He didn't walk very much all year.
Yeah, that was a talking point of us multiple times.
Yeah. It's Yeah, I'm going to agree with Brian there.
Oh my gosh. Brian earns an actual bonus point.
Did I get it at eight?
Eight walks.
That's nuts.
Dude, I just remember talking about it.
Yeah. Yes, Salvador Perez walked 8 times before the All-Star break and 20 times after the break for a huge total of 28 walks.
Wow.
For the RBI leader, only had to walk. That's crazy. The RBI leader only walks 28 times. Oh my gosh. But our last question. Question number 5. You've both done very well so far.
I don't think I've gotten one wrong. I'm on fire tonight.
Brian mentioned something about how closely you paid attention to baseball in 2021.
Yeah.
And I think didn't mean to start that. we've proven that you guys have played pretty good attention to baseball, but here's your last question. I also think that
some of this is a byproduct of I've been making trivia for other episodes. Yes.
Yeah,
for sure. But here's your question or your statement. Ryan Zimmerman played Major League Baseball in 2021.
Didn't he retire?
Define played.
He played with his kids in the backyard. He played Major League Baseball.
Does showing up to the stadium count?
Oh, dude, I...
You know what? True.
I have no clue, so I'll go opposite of Adam. Why not? False. I have no clue.
Noah's muted. Yes, I'm muted.
Gotta love that. This is
true.
Ryan Zimmerman played
what? In 110 games with a 756 OPS in 2021. Also, this is the question that made me develop this entire segment, because I was watching a random old game and I saw Ryan Zimmerman and I went, Ryan Zimmerman played baseball in 2021.
What? For who?
For the Nationals?
For the Washington Nationals.
Oh, I mean, that explains it. Nobody watched the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
Wait, he played baseball last year?
Yeah. Huh.
I'm in shock.
Hold on. I'm going to Washington National stats. Hold on. Give me a moment here.
I could have swore he retired.
Check this out.
Which means that it was a tie.
Yeah. Wow.
But Brian, with the 2 extra bonus points, one for saying Jonathan India's cue, and the actual bonus point for saying Salvador Perez walked 8 times.
He had 14 home runs.
Yeah. 756 OPS.
Yeah, he batted a 243. It was not like he was, great, but
I'm so glad we ended on that, because that's literally what made me do this whole segment. It's like, wow. I want to know if they are surprised that Ryan Zimmerman played baseball.
I am shocked.
Yeah, I mean, baseball. I was, all right. Good for him.
Wow. Did he retire?
Yeah.
Is he coming back?
Probably.
I think he retired. Because I remember a send-off thing.
Huh.
Wow, that was the most games he had played since his major comeback year in 2017. I'm looking at his page right now. I remember the 2017 year, he just went nuts. 303 average, 33 home runs. Oh, wait, no, 33 doubles. Wait, can I count? He had, nope. He had five home runs. 36 home runs. I can't count.
Dang.
But yeah, 2017 Zimmerman went off, 930 OPS.
Wow,
big Zim dog, and
still playing in 2021. Who would have guessed? Definitely not me.
I mean, I did guess, that's for sure.
Hey, apparently Adam knows this.
Huh. I mean, yeah, that was a great game.
Bases do you guys think Ryan Zimmerman stole in his career?
72.
Okay.
I don't know, dude. 12?
43. I just saw it. So.
All right. So somewhere in between.
Yeah. Yeah. I was right.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. You guys are also, I do want to say, because I did look it up, because I was just interested. The Orioles barely top 10 for strikeouts.
Yeah, it's just fun to say that they struck out 5 million times.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're the Baltimore doo-doo-poo-poos.
Yeah, turns out the Cubs were top dog for striking out 1,596 times.
Now that you say that, that actually makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it totally does. Anyway.
I mean, we could talk about what we were going to talk about before. If we, I mean, it's just the last thing in the podcast.
Sure.
Yeah, we can.
It's a weird.
It is interesting news. It's for sure.
Yes.
I guess.
No one wants to say it.
That's a weird segue, but no, Trevor Bauer, not going to face any criminal charges, at least not in LA court system. It is worth noting that the MLB can still choose to suspend him. Obviously, they're preoccupied making bad decisions. And the Dodgers have yet to cut ties with him officially. Like, he's still technically contracted to the Dodgers for two more years or something.
He'll probably play baseball this year,
which is wild. And that was sort of the question I posed in the doc. Was like, is there a world where his career isn't over yet?
I mean,
I feel like it's more likely for him to play than not play again. Cause I'm not saying these are my thoughts. I'm just saying this is the world we live in. And the facts is that before all of this happened, he pitched well enough to win a Cy Young and get the highest AAV in baseball history. So that is when you just that and nothing else. He is an incredibly valuable asset to a baseball team.
Absolutely. I also would bring up, the argument too of professional athletes doing terrible things and then continuing to have careers is not a foreign concept.
Yes. And then being actually charged with terrible things. And
Have careers. Much. And obviously, what Bauer, whether he did or didn't do it, who cares? But what Bauer did, right, not good, very bad. Also, not even close to the worst thing that a professional athlete has done and then still had a career. So,
dude, what's so crazy to me is that, his main argument wasn't even that he didn't do it.
I don't think he had a chance of proving that he didn't, right?
Clearly he did it.
Yeah,
but his argument was that it was consensual, and that's just insane.
Well, I mean, that's about the best.
Who knows? At the end of the day, I guess there's no way for us to ever know for sure. But it's just wild.
It's crazy. It's so wild to think that Trevor Bauer might be in the MLB again.
I would say it's more likely than not. I would say there probably is some sort of chance it's not for the Dodgers, though. I think there's a world where the Dodgers just don't want to deal with the drama. And it's not like the Dodgers are relying on Bauer to be good. Obviously they could use Bauer. Right? He is an incredible pitcher. He's won a Cy Young. No team's going to turn down a player of Bauer's skills. But I think there's a world where the Dodgers are we don't want to deal with what's going to come with it.
Well, you also have to remember, right? The Dodgers were where they were at the end of the season without Dustin May. And without Bauer, without, arguably two of their top four pitchers.
And Kershaw was barely pitching.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but Kershaw in the playoffs is, not really, not really the same pitcher.
For the Giants next year, he'll be dotting up the Dodgers.
Bauer to the Giants?
No. I actually think that would be the last spot he'd go if he got cut. Just because Gabe Kapler is and the San Francisco's fan base would eat that ownership.
I don't think they would stand for it at all. They would
never even.
But, when have the owners ever thought about the fans? So,
fair point. Very fair point. I think that's going to wrap it up for this.
And on that note,
I just was we're deep into the podcast. We'll just. Yeah, I don't want to bring this up early in some podcasts. I don't really want to acknowledge Trevor Bauer too much, but
don't feel like we need kill to kill the vibe we had.
Yeah
but it is, it is important news because, when he is playing, he is a top 10 pitcher.
Yes.
He is a major talent. So
yes, and regardless of what happens, you know, it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of news about it.
You know, the one thing I do know, he's a doo-doo poo-poo person.
Yes.
And with that, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Goodbye.
Later. How do you know, man?